It's been a tough year for nearly every industry, especially gaming. On Monday, MGM Resorts laid off some 18,000 employees nationwide, nearly a fourth of its workforce. Meanwhile, gaming revenue rose in July, but it's way below a year ago. So should Nevada's policymakers do something about that? Should they legalize online gaming? And until then, will a vaccine be the industry's savior? Someone who has dived into all of these issues is Howard Stutz. He's a longtime local journalist and executive editor of CDC Gaming Reports. Howard, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back, Joe. Appreciate it.
Sure. So MGM, Monday marks 6 months since the company furloughed employees. Is there any way of gauging how many of the 18,000 are Las Vegas residents?
Don't know. I mean, MGM on Monday in Detroit announced about 1,100 are being let go as part of this layoff at the MGM Grand Detroit. So you would have to figure it's company-wide. So it's also in Ohio, obviously Michigan with Detroit, Maryland, Massachusetts, Mississippi. But you have to figure the bulk are probably here in Las Vegas. You know, I mean, the most properties are here. They're highly concentrated here. So that's, you would think that most are here.
So we're feeling the brunt of it probably. And you know, all of MGM Las Vegas resorts are open with the exception of Park MGM. But visitation is down and money spent is down. Certain amenities and offerings aren't available. So what departments are they figuring will get the biggest losses?
Well, you figure what's not open. None of the showrooms are open. We already knew they were furloughed and we're probably letting go of most of the entertainment side of the company because there's no showrooms right now. Same with conventions. You know, if you're a convention, if you work in the convention side, there's no conventions going on. I know Channel 3 spoke when this was announced last week. They spoke with a security guard at T-Mobile Arena who was let go. And obviously T-Mobile's not operating right now, you know, because there's no shows and sporting events. So that's kind of where you figure what's not operating right now. That's kind of where the cuts are probably coming from.
Yeah, it's really bad. You know, MGM, though, is the first casino company to execute these massive layoffs. Do you think other casinos are going to follow suit?
Well, it's interesting. On Monday in Massachusetts, Encore Wynn's property in Massachusetts laid off 385 people. So we're seeing it. We may see others. You know, a lot of these companies furloughed a lot of employees through filed those WARN Act notices back in March, April, some in June. Those are the 60-day plant closing notifications. Well, now, you know, we're coming up on that. And in employment law, you can only keep so many people on furlough for so long. So they have to institute the layoffs. Now, MGM has said they will bring people back as things open up. And obviously it'll take a little bit to get the shows back up and going. But that once they are able to bring people back, I think they're going to, they will, they're not going to, it's just going to take a while. That's just the challenge that these companies are facing when you're limited on how many, occupancy. And right now we're, our visitation is down, air travel's down. That's why occupancy is down. And so, the revenues are down at the same time. So it's only so much these companies can do, I guess.
Howard Stutz is with us. He's executive editor of CDC Gaming Reports. And gaming, the state's largest employer, is our topic. You know, Howard, Caesars is the other giant of the gaming industry here. They just finished a merger with Eldorado. Usually during these mergers, people lose jobs. And now, combined with COVID-19, I have to ask if you think the layoffs that they could have might dwarf those of MGM.
Caesars, as this deal was announced, and it took over a year, and partly because of COVID, to get this completed. They were hoping to have this completed in March or even April of this year, and it just got delayed because of the COVID crisis and getting this done, a deal of this magnitude. There was a lot of layoffs already at Caesars in a lot of different departments. There was going to be duplications of services, and they were already had instituted some job layoffs that we really weren't heard about. A lot of them were on the corporate level. You know, Eldorado did file WARN Act notices on a lot of their properties here in Nevada. The same with Caesars. So we'll see what happens with this. I mean, you would want to say yes, it's probably going to happen. It has happened in some sense already in small areas, but we'll just see where this goes. You know, nothing's been announced as of today.
Yeah. And you know, after MGM made that announcement, their stocks increased 5% on Friday. So the stockholders cheered really at the expense of workers there.
I hate seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, but they, you know, the labor costs are going to go down a little bit. You know, they're trying to save money. Now MGM did, in their credit, they created an employee assistance fund. They got a lot of their entertainers to kick into it. I mean, they've raised, last I saw, it was like $11, $12 million to help assist employees. So at least that they were doing that. They had set that up. So we'll just see. And then MGM was clear, once they're able to, they'll bring back more employees as more departments come along. Now, some people that are employees may not come back. They may have been renting places here and decided to go back in other markets where there might be jobs. So, you know, it's a weird, you know, it's just the dynamic that we're in and where this will all go as we progress along in dealing with this whole pandemic.
MGM Resorts just laid off 18,000 of its American workforce. And I've been talking with Howard Stutz, executive editor of CDC Gaming Reports, who's been following the impacts of the COVID-19 on the casino industry. Howard, let's talk about gaming revenues. The state's casinos managed to earn about $757 million. That is a 26% decrease from winnings last July. But that improves on June's winnings, which were down 46% from a year ago. So just how good or how terrible are the winnings right now?
It was also better than April and May when it was zero, pretty much.
So, yeah.
You know, we have that going for us. Now, they expected it was going to be down. I mean, people are, you know, because visitation's down, so you expect the gaming numbers to be down. Now, what it was a 39% drop on the decline in revenues on the Strip, which some of those that look at this said, you know, that's not so bad. They thought it could have been mm-hmm. worse. You know, you look at Macau, where it's every month it's down 95%, you know, because in gaming revenue declines there. The biggest problem is that we're losing the non-gaming revenues. As you and I have talked about and we followed over the years, gaming is about 35% of the revenues that are produced on the Strip. The bulk come from non-gaming, from the shows, the entertainment, the hotel rooms, the dining, everything else that comes in. That's where the big declines are. And we won't really know that for a while until those numbers start popping up. But that's where the biggest declines have been coming. Then the other factor with Las Vegas was the locals markets did pretty well, the locals casinos. And that was a good sign, you know, that in the area, when you look at the numbers that the state provides, the balance of Clark County, that's pretty much locals. Locals market. So they did very well. It was up 10%. So that's a good sign.
And I'm not sure what they're doing or if they're doing something different with visitors from Southern California, but I just saw a story in the Review Journal today about these car jams, miles long car jams from Las Vegas to Southern California for 5 days straight. So they're really coming here.
Well, the room rates are down, Joe. I mean, that's the one thing. You know, what rooms you can get, they're down. The room rates are down. You look online, you know, it's like, you know, $100, you know, midweek rates are down. The occupancy levels are down, but people are driving in, and that's what we're getting. People don't want to get on an airplane right now, even mm-hmm. from Southern California. So Southwest numbers, I think, I can't remember off the top of my head what they were, but they were down 67%, you know, last month in McCarran. People aren't getting on airplanes, so they're driving in from, and we're seeing a larger numbers from California, the roads coming in from California, from Arizona, and from Utah, you know, from up north. So you're getting people driving in with the good rates, and that's why the, you know, going back on the weekend, you know, that was a great, you know, a great sign to see the backups, but it was like the backups you usually see on the weekends, on Sundays, people leaving town after a weekend in Vegas. So so you are getting people driving in. It's just the airport numbers are really down, and that's the biggest challenge for the market.
I will say this about the airlines. They're trying to reverse that. Somebody I know just flew here last week, round trip from New York, for $50.
Right. That's a great point. But the other side of that is, when you go back to New York from Vegas, you have to quarantine for 14 days. That's the big challenge that we're facing in the travel.
Now, Howard, you wrote a column last week about online gaming. Nevada doesn't allow widespread online gaming, only sports betting and some non-traditional gaming and play through the World Series of Poker website. We've talked about this before, but first, why is that? Why is it so limited here?
Well, it's a piece I wrote in the Nevada Independent a couple weeks ago, taking a look at this, because Pennsylvania and New Jersey just saw huge numbers in online gaming because they allow, it's not, they allow online casino gaming, not just online poker. When Nevada legalized online gaming back in 2013, it was poker only. And they thought that was the best way. They thought they would get more people. You know, that was the easiest way to sell it, you know, and to get online poker here. Now, part of that was the idea was to have a to market with other states to tie it in through a multi-state network. They finally got that launched in 2015 with Delaware, and then a few months later, New Jersey signed on. The problem is, I think back when this was when online poker was legalized in Nevada, other states didn't come along. They didn't there, so we didn't we only have online gaming legal right now in six states, and I think that was the biggest challenge. Poker, since we did poker only, it's a play. You need a lot of players, liquidity, they call it, in terms for online gaming. Mm-hmm. So Delaware and Nevada, that's, I think, you know, I think we can fill that population in the KNPR studio there. but New Jersey getting on, coming on helped. And we only have one website now, World Series of Poker. We had the first site, Ultimate Gaming, which was launched by Station Casinos, a spinoff. They only lasted 19 months. South Point ended their site, you know, real quick because there weren't a lot of players. Caesars is able to do it because it was the online. Caesars owns the World Series of Poker. It was during the summer months when the World Series of Poker tournament was here in Nevada, was in Las Vegas at the Rio, and now it's not on this year because of the pandemic. They offered a lot of online competition while these players were here in Nevada playing online, playing in the poker rooms to get into the World Series of Poker. So there was a lot of cross marketing. Well, that hasn't gone on, but they are doing online poker through World Series of Poker here, but you have to be in Nevada to do it. So that's been the challenge.
So I've seen numbers out of New Jersey, stunning numbers in the amount of money they've brought in through online gaming in July of this year. Versus Nevada, is this going to change and quickly because there is such a need now for revenue, for jobs, all that kind of thing in Nevada?
The way this would get to have this change is it's in our statute already that was passed for online poker. All the Gaming Control Board and the Gaming Commission would have to do is draft regulations for it. So far there doesn't look like any kind of push on to do that. So I think right now they're watching it. I don't know if it'll happen if we have a shutdown again. You know, that's what happened. New Jersey and Pennsylvania, the casinos shut down like Nevada did, but people were able to play online on their play online casino games. We'll just see where this goes. Right now, there's not really a push for it, but you know, I wrote this in the Independent to kind of point this out on how online gaming is growing. I mean, it's growing. Michigan's going to launch, West Virginia. There's other states that are doing this. So the question is whether Nevada's going to get onto this right now. We are traditionally a brick and mortar state, and that's, you know, kind of where everything is at right now.
Howard Stutz is with us. He's executive editor of CDC Gaming Reports. And of course, we are talking about gaming, the number one industry in Nevada. And I think we should talk about young gamblers. The Review Journal reported last week that casinos are gaining some younger gamblers and they're starting to spend more money in the casinos. You know, what's strange is that traditionally it's older gamblers who are the bigger spenders. And the story is always that the younger generation spend less time and money on the casino floor. They like the clubs, the shows. So what's changing? Why is this surprising turnaround happening?
Well, there aren't, you just said right there, there aren't clubs and the shows are not happening. Station Casinos and Boyd, during their quarterly earnings during August, mentioned this, that a lot of their older customers aren't coming in. The older demographic, you know, they're still kind of staying home, you know, or, you know, and are not going into casinos, not venturing out yet because of the pandemic. The younger crowds are, and now they're, you know, we don't have movie theaters, I think, for the most part, are not open yet. Maybe there's a handful that have, but they're not open. So they're venturing into the casino because there is that form of entertainment. And they're, you know, now what hope these companies are hoping for is that they're going to be able to keep them once things start turning around and, you know, there's a change in everything. But it's a good sign that we've seen a younger demographic coming in. Maybe they're coming in also to stay, you know, visitation. They're staying at the properties and using the swimming pools because it is the hot summer months. I mean, that seems to be what the challenge, what's really kind of changing is that, you know, the more of a younger crowd is traveling rather than the older crowd. And so that's what they're, that's kind of a good change we're seeing, and we'll see where this goes from there.
Well, that's really the key. How do you keep them? If this is really a situational change based on the fact that you have movie theaters, shows, and clubs open, that's why they're gambling now. How do you keep them? Is it through esports? Because we've talked a lot about that on this program. But would it be smart, I guess, for the industry to start speeding up some of these youth-friendly gaming options?
Right, it's data. It's through marketing and their data collection. What the casinos do, and they'll find out what some of these new customers like and dislike, and that, you know, and market to them in that way. That's one way they'll be able to keep them. I don't know about esports. I mean, I'm still not. You know, I mean, esports does well. You know, it's for a very younger demographic. I don't see it as a gambling game still. I mean, they've put different tournaments on to be bet on, you know, by in the sports books, but I don't think they're really drawing big numbers, especially now with the NFL season starting, all the playoff games we have going on with NBA and NHL and Major League Baseball. But, you know, I think it's all through marketing and through data collection. That's what these casinos have done very well over the years, and they'll collect that information, and hopefully that's how they'll keep these customers coming.
In the long run, does it really matter? I wonder when the clubs open and the shows open and all those things, which, as we talked about, earn about 35% of the revenue for casinos. Does it matter when they open if the younger people go back to those and avoid the casino floor? Won't the casinos still be making just as much money? Or do they make more money through the gambling area?
Well, I had a CEO tell me years ago, he said, I don't care. It used to be a dollar spent at our property is a dollar spent. It doesn't matter whether it's at a blackjack game or in a restaurant or wherever. That's still a dollar of revenue. And so they've come around to this, that they understand now that, you know, with 65% of the revenue is coming from non-gaming, you know, as long as people are coming and spending money, you know, they call it RevPAR, the revenue per available room, you know, how much is spent, you know, when somebody comes in and books that room, how much do they spend outside of paying for the room? How much is that room worth to that property in terms of the spend? That's, you know, it's obviously gone down considerably with the pandemic and visitation down and not a lot of the non-gaming stuff open. So I think they'll be happy just to, you know, they're happy to get younger. They're getting a crowd in here now, whether it's younger or older. And maybe they'll convert them into longer term players once this is over. But once again, once the non-gaming is back, I think the casinos will be happy, you know, as long as that customer's coming in and, you know, for a good time and spending wherever they spend it, they'll take that dollar.
Howard, before we go, one last question. Is there any optimism among casino CEOs, employees, kind of people running things? What are they saying to you?
Everybody's just trying to get by right now. You know, I think it's interesting because it was a good sign that MGM reopened the Mirage last week in time for the Labor Day weekend. I think that was a good sign. It brought some more people back. Now they're only, you know, operating, they're not at 100% capacity, obviously. None of these properties are, but that was a good sign. I think it's really just to try to get by. A lot of folks have looked at, you know, look at the convention. We haven't even talked about the convention business, you know, that's gone, you know, right now. I mean, that's a big part of why we don't have big crowds is we don't have a lot of convention or meetings now because of limitations. Once we start seeing, their good sign is a lot of these conventions that have canceled dates are booking into next year. Maybe it's, you know, into the second or third quarter of 2021. So that's a good sign there. A lot of them did rebook for the end of this year, but they had to cancel because of the ongoing pandemic. So it's a hopefulness that this will come back. You know, things will come back. Just it's not going to be the light switch that we all hoped, you know, that we never always talked about. It's not going to be flip on a light and everything's back again. It's going to be a much longer drawn out process than it was before. And then maybe some of the stuff that they're doing now will translate over into the next as we start to come back and translate into the operating and once things move forward again.
Howard Stutz is executive editor of CDC Gaming Reports. Howard, thanks so much.
Not a problem, Joe. Thanks for having me on.